wisdom and revelation. In order to understand the mystery of this universe and to see it. And also, Lord, through your Spirit, bring us and lead us into the reality. We need your help. And just as it is written, our help comes from you. We praise you, Lord Jesus. Bless the meeting this evening. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sorry, he's kind of losing his voice. Caught a cold, but praise the Lord, you can still hear my voice. It's so important, just as Vincent said just now, that we need a deep impression. Already in these two verses, in the beginning God created, and then the earth became void and without form, became tohu bohu, chaotic. So God did not waste any word or waste any time. Immediately, from the very beginning, he brought us to the problem. What happened there? That the earth was important for him. And the enemy wants to take over the earth. The earth was wonderful. And God's plan was that his kingdom would come to this earth. Perhaps not too many people believe that in the future, the entire kingdom of God would come to this earth. And the Lord himself will reign on this earth. And then, in eternity, there'll be a new heaven and new earth. And where would New Jerusalem be? In heaven or on earth? John said the New Jerusalem would descend. Where to? Onto this earth. Not to another planet. No. No. I love this earth. Praise the Lord. You may all go to heaven. I'd stay on this earth. The earth is so important in God's plan. And we, mankind, are created to be on this earth. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. I really thank the Lord that the earth is so important for God. So, already, with the first two verses in the Bible, the Lord said, everything is said. And the Lord taught us to pray that may his kingdom come to this earth. And truly, when the Lord comes to this earth, he would reign on this earth for 1,000 years. And praise the Lord. And in eternity we see. Now it's a thinner stick. And we see the new heaven and new earth. And New Jerusalem would come down onto this earth. And we would reign from eternity, forever and ever. Praise the Lord, it's so wonderful. It's excellent. The brother read the verse this evening from Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5. Hebrews 2, verse 5. We have it in Romans 2b. Roman numeral 2b. The angels were appointed to rule over the pre-Adamic world. I told the Lord, although it's so clear in the Bible, which verse should I show? The fact is there. But I'd like to have a verse. And after I prayed and considered it further, It's very wonderful that the Lord gave me this verse. He showed me this verse. Let's take a look at it again. Hebrews chapter 2, verse
5.
What does Hebrews 2, verse 5 say? For he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels. When I read this verse, I was so happy. Hallelujah. That means in the previous world, certainly the angels were ruling. But praise the Lord, not for the world to come. Sometimes we have to understand God's word in this way. Because the world, the past world, was subject to the angels. It was given to the angels. But praise the Lord, not the world to come. The world to come belongs to whom? It belongs to us. Hallelujah. We really have to thank and praise the Lord for this. You know, the previous world was a long time ago, and it didn't work with them, with the angels. But for the world to come, praise the Lord. The Lord would give it to us. And the book of Hebrews said that it has not happened yet. But whom do we see? We see Jesus. He made it as a man. He was able to overcome everything. He overcame Satan. He overcame the world. Yes, praise the Lord. He even overcame death. And he put off all the principalities and powers. And he is the victor. And in death and resurrection, the Lord ascended into the heavens. And today he's sitting on the throne as a man. And when you see that, when we see that, then that's the guarantee that he can make it with us. That the Lord can make it with us. It's a question of time. But even today, it begins with us here in the church. Isn't that wonderful? It doesn't matter to me what happens here in the eternity past. Or, certainly the enemy does not want to give up everything. He is still reigning on this earth today. But unfortunately, not for long. Not for long anymore. We have to see this. His kingdom must come. The Lord said in a verse, let's read Luke chapter 8. And actually, much more, we should go to Luke chapter 11.
Amen.
What did the Lord say here?
Die Juden gesagt haben,
as if the Jews said, the Lord cast out the demons through Beelzebub, the king of the demons. And what did the Lord say to them? So what did the Lord say?
In verse 17.
But he knew their thoughts, praise the Lord, and said to them, and this is very important for us today, to note this. We have to take note of this. Actually, every word is important for us. Every kingdom, not only certain kingdoms, but every kingdom, including the kingdom of God. Every kingdom means every kingdom. He said, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, what would happen to it? It would be brought to desolation. I think we should all read this verse together. When we read it all together, hopefully it will be written in your hearts. Let's read verse 17 together. But he, from verse 17 through verse 20, but he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say, I cast out demons by Beelzebul, and if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. First of all, let's take a look at the last verse. But if the Lord said, but if I cast out the demons with the finger of God, God only needs a finger, not even the index finger, maybe just the little pinky. Well, if he would cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. This opens a small window for us to see. Why does the Lord say this? Because the principalities and powers is ruling through and in the with the demons today. But when the Lord returns, when the Lord comes and casts out these demons, then the kingdom of God has come to this earth. Surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. This is important for us to see that today these principalities and powers are reigning over the earth, over the whole world. The whole world lies in the hand of the evil one. Look at the whole world today. Don't think that is very beautiful. No, no, it's not beautiful at all. If the Lord would open our eyes to see what kind of a world it is, it's full of darkness, full of unrighteousness, corruption, sin, and so many dark things everywhere in the whole world, in Asia, in Europe, in Eastern Europe, in South America, everywhere, in every country today, there's no peace. And sin has overtaken it all. The whole world is changing more and more. And we see that we're almost living in the time of Lot. It's terrible. It's really terrible. And it's high time that the Lord comes. But if we are in such a condition so that we can cast out all these areas, if the church has gone far enough that, and it's so that it can bind all these principalities and powers, that they would be afraid of us, we can bind them, just like this verse says, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Now, the kingdom of God is drawing near. That's how it is. What does this word say again? Surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. But when we in the church are fighting one against the other, perhaps not outwardly, but inwardly, Do you think that the enemy does not know it? If I am against Günther Jansen, perhaps he doesn't know, and you don't know either, but the Lord knows and the angels know. And all the principalities and powers, they know also. You know, how can you hide from them? So by this opportunity, by this occurrence, the Lord said something about the kingdom. Because it's not just a matter of casting out of demons, but it's a matter of the kingdom of God. God wants to show us something through this little incident, that it's a matter of the kingdom. And the people said that he cast out the demons through the king of the demons through Beelzebub. But the Lord is so wise. Through such nonsensical talk, he brought forth the kingdom of God. We have to learn of this. People talk so much nonsense and then we get angry. We don't need to be angry, but much more through these nonsensical talk, we must get the wisdom of God and bring forth the kingdom of God and bring forth the truth. It's so good. Or are you angry? But if you get angry, then no truth will come out of you. But in his wisdom, the Lord, through such an accusation of the people, he was not angry with them. It's wonderful. He says, how is it possible? He started by saying, every kingdom divided against itself, a house divided against a house falls. So the Lord spoke, and this is the truth. Today we speak about the oneness. What kind of a oneness do we have? Just an outward oneness? That's of no avail. Brothers and sisters, I do not trust in an outward oneness. I've seen, we've tried it, we've practiced it, but it did not work. I wouldn't say, oh, let each one of us do whatever he pleases. That doesn't work either. But we have to look at the true oneness here. The oneness is a matter of the kingdom. If we do not see the kingdom, then I don't believe we understand what oneness means. A kingdom? For a king, what is the most important thing in the kingdom, Toby? It's the king. That's why in this song, I changed it. Christ is not just our life. Of course he's our life, but that's not important enough. If he's only his life, it's nice and beautiful. He is your life. But if he doesn't reign in you, what's the use of it? But when we say Christ is our king, it's a little bit different. What do you do with a king? You obey. What do you do with a life? Oh, life, life. Life is just life. Christ is my life. Hallelujah. But I do what I please. But if the Lord is your king, he's not only your life, then you cannot do as you please anymore. So we have to change the song a bit. So Christ is our king. Christ our king. Isn't that better than Christ our life? I'm happy about it. See, brothers and sisters, we always have to improve the songs. Don't keep singing the old songs. You have to sing a new song. Right? In spirit and in his kingdom. Instead of in spirit and on the ground. Hallelujah. It fits to this conference. We always have to go forward and go upward. We also have to learn this, and we also have to exercise. Ask John Yao. Always, well, if I'm in the meeting in Fountain Valley, Sarah, can you testify every time we sing, I always make changes.
Is that right?
Is that right?
Am I saying the truth?
Am I saying the truth? Yes. I always want to go a little bit more forward and see some more and go higher as well. The Lord has to show us more. We brothers cannot just stay as we are. No. The Lord must build up His kingdom and He has to continue to go on. That's good. I'm happy with the brothers here. Last year they hung this up, and this year they did a better job hanging up the chart. And next year we might want to use a projector, and then we won't need the print shop anymore. That's even better. Why not? Amen. Spiritually, we also have to go forward all the time. And the churches have to go forward. This is important. You see, the Lord is always going higher and higher. Look at this chart. You think that the millennial kingdom is high enough? The Lord says, no, there's still something further here. The different colors in the chart, you say from one color to the other, always all the way up. The chart has different colors on the board there. Oh, Lord Jesus, when we made this drawing, we considered back and forth. How can we present it very clearly so that all the saints can grasp it just by taking a look at it. Marcus, is it clear? Isn't it clear? Which color would you like to stay on? This brown here? Or are you happy just to stay in the blue? That's the church. The blue is already better than the brown, right? As the nation of Israel. No, we want to go on further. We want to come to this purple color where the Christ reigns. Why? Why purple? Because it's a royal color. Blue is heavenly, but purple is royal. Kingly. But that's still not enough. We want to come to the golden city. We want to even go higher. We want to keep going up higher and higher and higher until we reach the very top climax. Sister Nyla, don't you want this? Yes, praise the Lord. We all need to see such a clear vision. And who is going to hinder us? We have the enemy here. He would like to hinder us. And why did the Lord say, and if I cast out the demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Why does the Lord say that? Because the enemy doesn't want to give up. And if we cannot cast out the enemy and the enemies of God, then the kingdom cannot come. We may have a good meeting. It doesn't mean that the enemy is afraid of us. He is not afraid of your meetings, especially if it's a meeting where we all fall asleep. Then he is very happy. Oh, better not have a meeting where we all fall asleep. There's a better place to sleep, and that's your bedroom. A meeting must be full of life in resurrection. There must be the power of the kingdom of the heavens. It must be effective. We must have a word here that would cast the enemy out of the church, that the flesh would be done away with, and that the spirit would be stirred up. Praise the Lord. But if we have a meeting where everybody's just sitting there, expressionless, whoever gives a message and sees that the saints are just sitting there with their heads down, I do ask you, stop and sit down. Why should we have such a meeting? Right, brother? You see, that brother there is laughing, because that is a problem. Lord Jesus, the meeting of the Lord should be full of praise and living in resurrection. We should bring the kingdom of God. We should express, manifest the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. That's how the church should be today. The church is not only there so that we come and sing and give thanks and then go home. No, we want to have something here that the saints would be strengthened. And in their daily life, everywhere, wherever we go, the enemy has to be cast out. If I'm here, then he has to get out. Then if he's here, I will not be here. We cannot coexist. That should be our attitude. If we're here, then he should be away. Otherwise, we should all be away. Both of us cannot coexist in the same place. Praise the Lord. So when we pray, our Father, your kingdom come. How should the kingdom of God come onto this earth? By a being, the kingdom of God here on earth, in a condition where we can cast out the enemy in the entire city of Stuttgart, in Pleidingen, in Baden-Württemberg, in the state, and in the entire Germany. We have to pray. You pray, oh Lord, gain some more people. But the people are there. They are being taken captive. So as the church, we must have this power to cast out all the principalities and powers. We say we are the church, then we should be in such a condition that we can do this. This is not a teaching. This has to be a reality for the church. Otherwise, what are we doing here? That's why the view concerning the kingdom is so important. Oh, Lord Jesus, the Lord is waiting that we would be prepared, that his kingdom would be prepared, because he is the king. A king without a kingdom, can that be? Would you like to be a king without a kingdom? Then everyone can be a king. Marcus, then you are a king too. Well, where is your kingdom? It's my apartment. Then nobody would take you seriously that you are a king and your kingdom is just your apartment. You know, that's what the British say. Every man's home is his castle. Then you've got a very mini castle. Then his kingdom is just a mini kingdom. No, it doesn't work that way, dear brothers and sisters. The church is a very serious matter for the Lord. And then I'd like to say once more that in this passage, the Lord said, if Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? look. Look at Christianity. Are they one? Are all the Christians one? Are they all just divided into two? Sounds like they are just divided into two, but actually they are divided in many, many ways. And how many groups are we Christians divided into today? We can't even count how many there are. There's so many groups. And if the church is the kingdom of God, and like what the Lord said here, we're divided into so many groups, can we stand as the kingdom of God? Do you think that the kingdom of God is like this today? The more the merrier? How about that, Joel?
The more the merrier.
The more the merrier.
Je mehr, desto lustiger.
The more the merrier.
Aber gemäß Gottes Wort,
but according to God's word, well, the Lord said here,
ein Reich in sich zerspalten ist,
if a kingdom is divided against itself, it cannot stand. Do you think that God's kingdom can stand if we people are so divided? Brother, what do you think? Is it okay? Yes? Okay, good, wonderful. Of course not. Of course not. Definitely not. That's why, brothers and sisters, we meet today as the church, as His kingdom. And don't think that every church should be, as we were taught earlier, that every church is stands by itself. No, every church is subject to this king. The subject to him. Just like all the embassies, German embassies in all over the world, they are all subject to the government in Berlin. You cannot say that every embassy is stands by itself. No. They have to do, each embassy has to do according to what Berlin says. And we, all the churches today, whether it be Africa, or is it in Berlin, or in Hamburg, or in Reutlingen, or Stuttgart, or Pforzheim, in Neuchâtel, in Zurich, in so many places, we're all under the headship of Christ. We're all under the King. And we all together are His kingdom. Don't think that you are independent.
He
says, please don't tell us what we should do. We're independent. The Lord doesn't mean it that way. No. No. Do you think that the Lord wants to see that every church has its own burden? I don't mean that we do not have any liberty. No. But praise the Lord. All the churches together, together we are the kingdom of God. We are one. Not only one in the church, but we are one among all the churches, not in a uniformity, but one under this headship, the headship of Christ. The Lord is our King. And that's why in Revelation we heard, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to whom? To the church? To the churches. Don't say, we don't care what the Spirit is doing in Berlin. No. I would like to see and hear. What is the Spirit speaking there? Of course, the prerequisite is that I know the Spirit. Not what you're doing in Berlin. I'm not interested in what you're doing in Berlin, but I'm interested in what the Spirit is saying, what the Spirit is speaking. Don't think that it doesn't matter to us. It does matter. The Lord has to open our eyes that together we are the kingdom of God. I cannot say, it's none of my concern. Oh, the church there in New York, it goes down under, it doesn't matter to us. I cannot say that. No. But we all together are the kingdom of the heavens for the Lord.
So the
Lord has to open our eyes to see that. In any event, this is very, very important to see that. And this morning we didn't have the opportunity. As some brothers already said at lunchtime that this would be good if we would make it a bit clearer for the young people. Let's look at chapter 8. Oh, Lord Jesus. It's Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Oh, Lord.
Ja, die Heilung eines Besessenen.
That's the beginning with verse 26, the healing of a demon possessed in Gadarenes. In Matthew, it's called another name. It doesn't matter. What does chapter 8? In Matthew chapter 8, what does it say? What is it called there? It's called Gadarenes. Gadarenes.
Ja, im Land von Gadarena.
Oh, in Matthew 8, it's called Gergesenes. Gergesenes. It doesn't matter what it's called, but let's go to Luke chapter 8 now. Here, the demons spoke to the Lord very clearly, beginning with verse 31. And the demons, they begged him that he would not command them to go out into the abyss. They didn't want to go into the abyss, where most of the demons were locked up. Now a herd of many swine was feeding there on the mountain. Can you imagine that? In Israel, there's a herd of many pigs. Can you imagine that there's such a thing in Israel? They're not even allowed to eat pigs. Pork. In the time of the Old Testament, they were not allowed to eat pork. Perhaps it's for the foreigners. I don't know. But in any event, to be herding the swine, that's not a good business. A good Jew would not be raising swine. Definitely not. And they begged him that he would permit them to enter them. And he permitted them. Then the demons went out of the man, praise the Lord, and entered the swine. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the lake and drowned. I must say that the Lord killed two birds with one stone here. He sent the swine and drowned them, and he sent the demons back into the abyss. That's nice. What a Lord we have. I always have to laugh. If I read the Bible, I must have laugh how the Lord handled the situation. It's really wonderful. But here I'd like to tell you truly where the abyss is. And do you think that on the second day in chapter 1 of Genesis that the Lord forgot to say that that was good? Did the Lord forget? He's not as forgetful as I am. Definitely, the Lord did not forget to say at the end of the second day that it was good. Whatever he created, that was good. But something that was not good happened. So, dear brothers and sisters, we must really realize it, that this entire powers of darkness, who should cast them out? Do you think the nations could do that? No. The nations are one with him. As we've read throughout the scriptures, the nations, no. No one can cast them out. Even to the extent that in Revelation chapter 18 it says Babylon is fallen and it became a dwelling place for what? A dwelling place for demons. Read chapter 18 of Revelation. We don't notice that. We still think that's so good. A couple of our young people went to the Vatican recently. Who went there? Who went to the Vatican? May I see their hands? There, Michael. Yeah, he went to the Vatican. Who else? Was it nice? No. Was it nice there? Did you enjoy it?
Wirklich nicht.
Really not?
Meinst du diese St. Peter Platz?
Do you think that St. Peter's place was not nice? When you go in, you see everything is gilded and it's beautiful? Did you go into the 16th chapel?
Wow, Michelangelo.
Oh, Michelangelo. Oh, my goodness. Wasn't it beautiful? You know who lives there? You don't know who lives there. Lord Jesus, we don't see this. We don't see it. But if the Lord would open our eyes, and if we are in the Spirit, in a certain place, we will see, oh, that's not a nice, that's not a good place. I believe that young children have more kind of a sense than we grown-ups. We look at it and say, oh, this is culture, it's so beautiful. So the Lord has to open our eyes, truly so. This short statement of the Lord is so important. Don't think that it's just a matter of casting out of demons. I want to emphasize it, that it's a matter of the coming of the kingdom. Because nobody is in the condition, and if we also in the church are not in the condition to bind and cast out the demons and send them away into the abyss or wherever, just so that they will not be there where we are, they should go away. Then we can truly gain many people here in the state of Baden-Württemberg. Oh Lord, the question is, are we in a condition to do this today? You have to say it. Really so. We have to ask this question. But if we have a civil war, do you think that we are in the condition to cast out the principalities and powers? We can't do that. Oh Lord, how important is the kingdom of the Lord? How wonderful is the kingdom of the Lord? And here we see, praise the Lord, in the chart, after the rebellion happened here, then God had to judge the earth at that time. And the judgment was not nice. Let's turn to page 2. That's Roman numeral 3 and E. The rebellion resulted in the judgment of the earth. God had to judge the earth, just like at the time of Noah. Just like at the time of Noah. God had to judge and destroy the world of that time. It couldn't be done any other way. So just like at that time, God has to have such a judgment. It must have been worse than the judgment at the time of Noah. It must have been a terrible kind of a judgment. And we see the word there, tohu bohu, which means chaos, a total destruction. We saw the wrath of God. Don't think that God is just love. No. His judgment is just as great as His love. Today we experience His love, but if we misuse or abuse His love and misunderstand His love, one day His wrath will come. And that's why we see what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, since we know the terror of the Lord, oh Lord, Paul was afraid. Don't you think that Paul knew the love of God? He said previously that the love of God constrains us. That's nice and beautiful, right? But a couple of verses later, he spoke about the terror of the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, can you find that? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, read both verses. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in English it says, it's the terror of the Lord. And in the German language, you reduced it a little bit, so it didn't sound so terrible.
In English, what did it say there?
What did it say there?
Knowing the what?
Knowing what?
Terror.
Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:11. You mean that God is a terrorist?
When you think about the word terror,
when you think of the word terror,
it sounds terrible.
It sounds terrible. The German word doesn't sound as terrible. It's not as strong. We always like to weaken the word of God a bit. We're all so nice. Oh, don't be so strong, otherwise the people will be afraid and will not believe in God. So, if so, then they should just not believe. Knowing the terror of the Lord. Do you know His terror? Or in Hebrews, in the book of Hebrews, our God is also what? Oh no, just a bit warm. He's just a warm fire. Just like your fireplace at home, your heating element at home. But Paul said, our God is also a consuming fire, and He would burn everything up. Is He speaking to the believers or the unbelievers? Who is supposed to realize that our God is a consuming fire? The unbelievers, they don't even believe it at all. So the Lord must open our eyes, dear brothers and sisters. Right? So today, O Lord, we have to see the judgment here. And later, we'll see the lake of fire. We'll have to see the lake of fire. O Lord Jesus. And then we see His judgment. Paul said, we'll all come stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account. There won't be any grace at that time, but it'll be His righteousness at that time. Are you not afraid? The Christians think and believe that they would all go to heaven. They'll all be raptured. That's crazy. That is really not correct. Such a thought. It's not sober. It's not sober. Dear brothers and sisters, this is not according to God's word. So God had such a judgment on the earth. That's why that part of the chart is black. Isn't that the right color? Black. Darkness. The word says, over the deep. And there's even a footnote there. It says, darkness was on the face of the deep. And there's a footnote there called, says, the abyss, the bottomless pit. It happened there. Why is there such an abyss? Why is there this bottomless pit? That's a prison. Today, all the demons, most of them are locked up there. And later, Satan, the dragon, would also be bound up and also thrown in there for 1,000 years. Such a prison begins right here at this time of God's judgment of the earth in the chart. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters, just like at the time of the flood at Noah's time. It's the water of death. That is not a good situation there. But praise the Lord. At the same time, it's also written that the Spirit of God was hovering, is brooding. So how long do you think that this period of time, a million years? I don't think the Lord would wait a million years to come and then to restore the earth. Imagine if your house was broken up through earthquake, Hans Dieter, would you wait 10 years before you repair your house again? Or 3 years? 2 years? Wait for a year? How soon? Tomorrow, right away. Wouldn't you do that? Even if just something broke, just like a toilet. Right, the next hour you get it fixed, right? Of course. You will not be waiting 10 weeks. Then your wife would be coming to you daily. Oh, honey, come on. Get it fixed. And after 10 days, you will not be hearing the word honey anymore. Oh, he'll say, oh, my good man, come on. And after 3 weeks, do you think that this wonderful God would wait so long before he comes to do the work of restoration? No, it's in his interest to accomplish his plan, to fulfill his plan as soon as possible. That's why immediately in verse 2, it says the Spirit of God was brooding or hovering. God could not even wait because his plan was that he wanted to create man. Now the time has come. He wants to create man. It's been proven that the angels didn't make it. They couldn't make it. And he even became this terrible Satan, the enemy of God. He became the devil, the slanderer. He is always slandering the living God. Oh, Lord Jesus. And he became the enemy of God, a terrible enemy. It was so terrible. That's how it is. But I'd like to tell you, the fallen man here, after the fall of man, man also became an enemy of God. So praise the Lord. Tomorrow morning, we will come to the positive side. But this evening, you have to see that the Spirit of God did not wait for a long time. Don't ever think that this, how do you say, the carbon way of dating the time, that it is correct. No, there's so many theories against it. I checked into it. I looked into it on purpose. So, dear brothers and sisters, no matter how long, but I believe that God would not wait so long, but he's already waiting to come to the point. Praise the Lord. I can imagine God would say, now the time has come. Let's quickly create man. And they should rule as we have planned before the foundation of the world. So do not think that this period is not important and we should not know about it. How many meetings that we use, how many meetings that we spent on this part? Today is the third meeting. You know, if we do not have this impression, then you cannot understand why the kingdom of God is so important. Then you neither can you understand why the kingdom of God is really the focus, a focal point in the Bible. It is so important. And how are we to recover this kingdom? It's not so simple. Do you think the enemy would just say, okay, I just give up? Come on, take the earth. Take over. Did we not read in Psalm 2? What should we pray? How should we pray? Ask of me. Ask of me. What should we ask for? He said, ask of me. I'll give you the nations. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession. And even at the very beginning of the Psalms, in Psalm 2, it's written, Psalm 2, verse 8. So hopefully, we don't need to talk about this anymore in the future meetings. It's all clear to you, right? Also, the young people, the young sister there, is everything clear? No more questions? Good. Okay, praise the Lord. Of course, I hope that all the older brothers and sisters would have the clarity. It's not a matter of teaching, no. For us, it's not a matter of the teaching. We don't want to tell everybody about this after the meeting. That's not the sense of it. But we here in the church need to know what this is all about and how we can recover the kingdom of God today. Praise the Lord. The Lord be with your spirit. Amen. Oh Lord. We'll sing that song, the short song.